This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Back to the bargaining table.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. The United Auto Workers are expected to resume negotiating this morning. They walked out on General Motors yesterday in the first strike over a national contract in 37 years. Let's bring in Mickey Maynard. She covers the auto industry for the New York Times. Mickey, how long can this go on?
Well, considering what Ron Gettelfinger, the UAW president, said yesterday, that they felt there had been no movement in the talks, then that would suggest a strike of days or weeks.
So we're hearing that the sticking point at this juncture is job security.
That's right. I believe General Motors doesn't want to have its hands tied as it looks at the future because, frankly, they don't need to build cars in the United States anymore. I think it would be a shock to many people to think that GM could supply the American market with vehicles built outside the United States, but General Motors may have that capability.
So if this continues for some time, how damaging could it be to GM?
Well, there's probably been some calculations done. Some of the Wall Street analysts are saying that they could go for about a month without being sufficiently damaged. After that, they start to burn cash.
What's the most important thing for the listener to take away from any of this, Mickey?
I think what the listener has to understand is that we're at a time now, a defining moment in the automobile industry. The one weapon that the UAW has to make its point is a strike. And General Motors in the past has caved. We have to watch and see what they do now.
Mickey Maynard covers the auto industry for the New York Times. Mickey, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Sure, my pleasure.
Shares in GM traded down 0.5% yesterday. That helped to send the stock market lower, with the Dow off 61 to 13,759. Meantime, the S&P gave back 8 points to 1517, and the NASDAQ slipped 3 to 2667. Overnight in Asia, the stock markets were mixed. Japan edged higher, but in Hong Kong, we were off from a record high. In Europe right now, the stock market are trading lower, particularly the energy shares. British Petroleum is down after the company's CEO was quoted by the Financial Times saying third quarter revenue will be dreadful. How can that be with crude oil trading at $80 a barrel? Here's Stephen Beard.
BP's third quarter revenues are dreadful. That, says the Financial Times, is the exact word the new chief executive used to describe the company's performance. Tony Hayward is reported to have told staff to expect a big shake-up. He apparently believes there are too many layers of management and poor communications. BP's bottom line is still suffering, largely because of its problems in the United States. Analyst Peter Kemp says BP's refinery, or downstream, revenues are still being hit by the Texas City refinery fire in 2005.
Across the whole portfolio in the U.S., the downstream portfolio, they're having to introduce new methods and procedures and clean up their act.
BP has also lost money on the delay in production from new projects in the Gulf of Mexico, but the company expects revenues to improve towards the end of the year. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, the world's daily news and information source. Before it's news, it's Reuters. Science and technology reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Conventional wisdom says slavery in this country was abolished 150 years ago, yet there's evidence it still exists. John Bowe is author of a new book, Nobody's: Modern Slave Labor and the Dark Side of the Global Economy. John, welcome to the program. Give me an example of contemporary slavery in the U.S.
Well, the second part of the book that I write about is a case in Tulsa where there was a guy who owned a welding company who began experimenting with temp workers he imported from India. And very quickly he noticed, wow, this is kind of cool having these really good welders for $3 an hour. Why am I paying my American guys $15, $20 an hour? So he started bringing more of them and decided that it would be a good idea to keep them on factory premises, and he started threatening them with deportation. So very quickly things escalated into the situation where he was hiring an armed guard to sit outside of the factory just to kind of remind them that it might not be such a great idea to leave.
Where is the government in all of this from your point of view?
In my point of view, the government is busy cutting the budgets of the Department of Labor, increasing funding to these departments that everybody hates, like OSHA, EEOC, Department of Labor. It's not very glamorous. They're not very sexy, but it used to be that there was one DOL inspector for every 30,000 workers in the United States. Now it's one inspector for every 150,000 workers. You increase the number of inspectors, bingo, you don't have as many workplace problems.
So what are the companies then that I might be familiar with who are taking advantage of this situation where we have workers in conditions that we are calling slave-like?
I would say the conditions are bad enough, especially in the fruits and vegetables area, that pretty much every large vendor of food products, that means McDonald's, Burger King, Walmart, anybody big at the top of the supply chain, probably has a trickle of slave-picked stuff in their supply chain.
If we go up and talk a little bit about pseudo-slave labor, immigrants who have come in and are making themselves available to do work, what would be the impact if these people were to be fairly compensated for their work?
Well, one of the things I found that was so surprising is how little money it would take to make it so that the lowest tier workers are adequately treated. So, for example, for the 1 to 2 million migrant farm workers we have in the U.S., for them all to be paid minimum wage would cost the average American household $50 a year. So I don't think it would be stretching too far to be able to make it fair.
John Bowe is the author of a new book, Nobody's: Modern American Slave Labor and the Dark Side of the New Global Economy. John, thanks so much for talking with us.
Well, thank you very much.
Got comments? You can send email to letters@marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening. Make it a good day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.